We got a friend again.
Yeah, kind of old friend at this point. Like, what, third time offender?
Is it three or four?
I think it's four.
At least four, maybe five.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. You can tell by the calluses and the bruising.
Yeah. Things have changed. You guys have gotten really fancy on me here.
Have we? It has been a little while.
There's a table.
Yeah.
We have our own little monitor now.
There's even like potpourri in the air.
Yeah.
That's the off that I just spray.
When we don't have a guest, we all have ottomans.
Yeah.
So.
Like, there's a beanbag chair in the corner.
We tried hammocks one week, but everybody fell asleep.
Right, exactly.
I got that.
The second half of that show was just total drag. Or great, depending on your perspective.
What the fuck are you talking about? They were like the two different conversations.
The way that the chairs change when we don't have a guest. Anyway, Matt Munoz, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
Matt is back. Matt, we were just talking about you last week. You came in, we did that Smiths record last week. Well, speaking of...
And, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to interrupt you. We were talking about you last week, and you're still alive, so...
Yeah. So you've missed that in the show, too.
The hex has been broken.
We started talking about somebody a few months ago, somebody dying, and then, like, we talk about somebody, and then it just...
Then they die.
Then they just kept dying.
And it happened a few times. Like,
no, it was David Bowie and Abe Vigoda.
Yeah, no, but then there was Merle Haggard we were talking about, and then the next show,
Ryan said something about Prince.
Probably.
So there was a little bit of a curse on the show.
Well, we've broken that now. We've broken that. So
that's good.
But it was funny because, like, I knew that we were going to be doing this record, and Matt texted me Saturday night. He's like, "We should do Travis the Man Who on the show," and I was like, "Funny that you say that, Matt."
That is weird.
You want to come? Yeah, it was weird.
It was weird.
It was weird because it's kind of a random record to bring up.
Well, I mean, so like this cycle, we decided to each, you know, pick something that we really like a whole lot. And
or that one of us knows really well.
One of us knows really well. Yeah, it's one of my favorite records. And, you know, I was, you know, kicking around the interwebs one night and I was like, I stumbled back upon it. And I was like, man.
Oh, yeah.
And then, sure enough,
it's crazy.
It was on his mind, too. Well, with that, let's play some theme music and let's go into the other side of the show and start talking about that shit. So I'm Shane.
Ryan.
Kevin.
Hi, it's Matt.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Somebody Likes It. So from time to time, there are a few people that I like to discuss that make an appearance.
Are we getting into some current event related stuff?
Is it Scott Stapp time?
Ding, ding, ding. Nail on the head.
I win.
It is Scott Stapp. Scott Stapp being one of them. Morrissey makes a regular appearance. Just people that do weird shit on a very regular basis that I enjoy talking about. And you've missed out when we talked about Morrissey winning the award for the worst sex scene ever written.
Well, we covered it twice.
Oh, in the book?
Yeah. We did cover it.
He barrel-rolled.
Barrel-rolled his breast. Yes. Or she barrel-rolled her breast. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, Scott Stapp is back in the news. Well, kind of in the news. Not in the way that he was when we started this whole thing. But so recently, last week, I believe, early last week, he went on a radio show. And he was being very coy with the host, saying that he can't talk about it now, but everything's going to be revealed in June. But he's going to be the new singer for a very established rock and roll band missing a singer. Can't talk about it. And the guy said, and this is a weird thing about it too. So. The guy kind of caught on to it and basically was started alluding to the fact that he was like, is it Stone Temple Pilots? He's like, can't say anything yet, or, you know, being like that. Mm-hmm. And here's the weird thing about it. Well, it's all weird, but then the guy goes, well, we know that right now you're touring, because he's on a solo tour. He's like, we know right now that the tour bus that you're on was the tour bus that Scott Weiland was found dead on. He's like, boy, you're really good at this. Like, and which is true, by the way. He is on that tour. He is using that tour bus.
Do you know who got the tour bus that Shannon Hoon of Blind Melon?
No.
Wilco.
That's
Wilco got it next.
Well, at least Jeff Tweedy wasn't running around saying he was going to be the new singer for Blind Melon. But
hey, but the man appreciates a good discount.
That's true. Yeah, as well he should. That's right, Kevin.
Bargain shopping.
I like how that's immediately what comes to mind. That is some fucking bargain shopping.
He's like, the phone rings. Like, hey, that guy's dead. What are you guys doing with your tour bus?
But Scott Stapp, okay, not only did this not faze him, he's like, all he does is use it to pivot back to the fact that he is very much openly stage whispering with a big wink that he's saying that he's going to be the new singer for Stone Temple Pilots. Whereupon, when that radio show was played, Stone Temple Pilots released an unequivocal statement saying that Scott Stapp is not now being considered, nor has never, ever been considered, as the lead singer for their band. So
just an extra dose of crazy.
Right! Well, I mean, no, we all know that, but the thing is like, I could see them putting a press release out, like, it's saying, you know, he's not being considered, but the fact that they said he has never been considered, like, they were very emphatic about this. So yeah, again, Scott Stapp,
what's the last time we
mentally solid dude?
When he was like shirtless popping wheelies on a motorcycle.
Well, that was one of them, and when he recorded, yeah, when he said that President Obama was sending hitmen and he had to move the kids to Florida and all that, yeah. But never gets old with Scott Stapp, so. God bless him. I'll keep you guys updated as to whether he actually does become the lead singer for Stone Temple Pilots. But as of now, yes, I'm sure you are, as well you should be. Anybody else have anything they want to add today?
Before we dive into the meat of the act, one thing worth mentioning, we did hear from Chris Cox at oneofus.net this week. Podcast Overlord, who mentioned something about... that someone had mentioned rather logically that, hey, you guys should have an email address. So we do. And you can now reach us at messagesomebody@gmail.com, which really cracked me up, A, that it was available, and B, that it kind of reads like you could just send an anonymous message to anybody at Gmail. But
that's what I thought when I saw it.
Yeah.
It's like chat roulette for the
kind of
email set.
Yeah. Anyway, but it doesn't do that. It just goes to us. So yeah, if there's something that you want to comment on, or there's something that you'd like us to cover, then shoot us an email at messagesomebody@gmail.net. That's the end of the PSA part of the show.
I was going to say that was a nice PSA. Thanks.
So sure. Are we going to start doing like Agony Ant type of Dear Abby segments now on the show?
It really depends on what.
That's a great
comes
idea.
In.
You know, we should.
We'll be giving you musical
advice. We really need to push that, and we should push that, and definitely say like, we will answer your advice questions on the air.
Dear somebody likes it. I never thought it would happen to me.
Yeah. Here are the first three songs on my mixtape. What's the next song I should put on? Actually, we encourage that kind
those,
of thing.
Like, that's what like, I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not kidding around.
I have a lot of experience in that field, so you know.
What, making mixtapes or giving bad advice? Oh, or
both.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a one-stop shop.
Okay, this week, it's Ryan's turn for this week of, what were we calling it? I like it.
Well, I kept flashing back to when Kevin was talking about Simon Pegg in Shaun of the Dead, and they're flinging LPs, vinyl LPs at zombies, and they're trying to decide on what to do with the Stone Roses' Second Coming. And they're debating despite the fact that the imminent danger.
That's right,
I forgot
about that.
And Simon Pegg's like, well, I like it. So anyway, I think the kind of the honorary subset of this show is I like it, and I indeed do like Travis, the man who.
That's our record this week.
Yes, that is our record this week, and apparently Matt likes it too.
Yes, that's great. I really think that's funny. I couldn't get over that. Like I was we should do that. Well, guess what? We are. How do you feel about that, Matt? Since you're the honorary. Somebody likes it today.
Well, I'll tell you why I kind of reached out to you about it. It's one of those records that's kind of come into my life at different times, and it's kind of, you know, some records really help you different parts of your life if you're going through different things. And it's just one of those records that has continually done that for me, where I kind of forget about it for a while, and then something happens in your life, and then it comes back around, and it kind of plays a part again, and not necessarily, you know, some of the old memories that it brought, but also just kind of, I don't know, music. I tend to believe music heals, and I think it's one of those records for me that definitely heals.
You find it coming back up at
certain
times.
Well, I don't
want to
bring the room down, but you recently experienced a loss, right?
Yeah, man. It's been a weird year. I've lost three people this year. My dad, one of my best friends, and then my mom.
And yeah, that's a tough road.
It's within the first 4 months of the year. So it's one of those records that has come back to me and has just, it means a lot more now than when I was really into it. Because I think as you get older, these records, especially the ones you really like, tend to grow with you. And then they have a place in your life, you know, even though you might be at a different spot or different things have happened, but they're still valid and they have a place in your life. And they kind of fill these voids and help you kind of through some patches that you get through.
Not to mention the fact that music has this, you know, transportive power, which
cathartic.
Is like, yeah, well, totally that.
Yeah.
But the idea that it can sort of, you know, take you back to when you first heard it, you remember circumstances of where you were. And this was one of those records that, like, I definitely have some associations with this album that I totally, like, I just haven't actively thought about in a while.
This is the second podcast we've done on a band that we saw, like, on my birthday. Like, we saw Tahiti 80 and
then... It was
then,
the same night.
And then Travis. Yeah, on the same night.
Yeah, those were two good shows.
They were both... Yeah, they're both great. And, like, good birthday. And, like, yeah. I'll always remember that.
Yeah.
Like,
that's great.
So...
Yeah, this is a good... This is a great, great record. I mean, I like it more now than I did back then. I haven't listened to it in 10, maybe 15 years. I don't know why. It's fucking
no,
great.
No, I don't know. It should be on, like... You know, at least every 2 or 3 month rotation.
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons why it's pretty intense. I mean, it's there's some heavy
that
stuff.
Is true.
Like it'll hit you. Like some of those songs on there, like you know, well for me, like Love, the song Love, like LUV, and you know, Why Is It Always Rain? I mean, those are pretty heavy songs. And even the songs that aren't necessarily sad and dealing with breakup, like are still pretty intense.
Well, and the thing that I didn't know was that the tenor of Good Feeling, the record they put out before this one, was very different.
It's not very good.
Yeah, well,
apparently it rocks
quite
a bit. No, I don't really know it either.
There's one really, really good song in that record, and that's All I Want to Do Is Rock.
It's kind of a really goofy record.
Yeah, I didn't really like it.
It's kind of a really goofy debut, almost like the first Radiohead record that's kind of a little goofy.
That's a good, that's a really good analogy.
Well, and we'll probably come back to that band at some point, but yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, one reviewer characterized that first record as like kind of putting them in the positioning them as the UK's, like, version of Weezer or something. Like,
yeah,
it was like
I could kind of see that. It's interesting if you go back and look at the this album is it's
this
just,
album is not that
no
all,
no no but I'm just saying, like, to put things at, like, in my view, in, like, to kind of allude to that just but off just for a second, this record there's one song in it that I don't really care for, and that's the turn song, whatever. It's,
I dig it,
but yeah, but even then I don't like that song just because it's on my taste. It's still an incredibly well written song. I mean, there's not a clunker on this album at all by far.
Yeah.
But it's almost like it's one of those things where they really struck lightning for this one record, because before that, the one before this is not that good, and then the subsequent albums are really hit or miss. Like this one album, it's like one of those things where they were firing on all cylinders and
this is like a masterpiece.
It's a masterpiece.
Like,
yeah,
it's probably in my top five favorite records of all time. Like, it's just genius, and I don't know why I don't listen to it more.
I think for me, part of the reason I don't as much is, again, it's intense, but. And I don't mean to say it. I mean, this is going to be a little bit of a dig, but after a little while, today I was in the, you know, I listened to it, like, I always listen to the record. Like, I listen to them during the week, and then I listen to them always the day before we record. The other day I wasn't as much. Today I was really in the mood to listen to it. But sometimes Fran Healy's little quivering lip thing he's very sad all the time, and it gets a little too much for me. I have to be in the right mood to listen to an entire record.
We'll come back to that in a little bit, because I do have an anecdote about one of the songs I want to play, but it's not the first one I want to. But the other thing that I kept coming back to, and when I looked up their Wikipedia page, it actually kind of brought it into sharp focus, was like, why Coldplay? Why not Travis?
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about... Yeah, right. I mean, if...
Like, they're better. Like, Travis, or at least at this point, they were.
Coldplay has a stronger overall catalog, for sure, I think.
But spread a little more thin. I don't know. I don't think Coldplay has, like, a record of this level.
No, they don't. But that kind of goes back to what I was saying about Fran Healy's like kind of like lost little boy quivery lip vocal thing. It does get a little sad sacky at times.
Maybe it's tougher to market
it
to a large audience. But
well, and I think you can also make the case that they kind of get dropped into the same, not the, necessarily the same, they don't sound anything like the Doves, but they get dropped into a similar scenario in that, like, there were opportunities for these guys to really make it, like, cash in, stay top tier, and it just, that's not the way that their career played out.
Right, and we talked about that about Doves, too. Like, why the fuck did Coldplay get so much bigger, right, you know, when those two albums came, Rush of Blood to the Head and The Last Broadcast came out so close to each other, and one went out of the stratosphere and created superstars, and one that arguably has even better songs on it. Don't get me wrong, Rush of Blood to the Head is a great fucking record.
Yeah,
I mean, I think. But
yeah, there are just a bunch of little factors that go into that. Yeah. You just never know
sure
what it's going to take.
Of course.
Well, let's get into the first track, "Writing to Reach You."
Yeah, this is a fucking way to start a record, man.
It absolutely
is.
It
is.
Couldn't
a fucking,
agree more.
Like, it's a home run. Finally had to call that, like, how we were listening. You know, we always listen to the songs in the breaks.
Yeah, we don't usually get all the way through them, and like, we all started just jamming out.
We were like, we weren't talking anymore. We're all just like doing our own thing, just like rocking in our chairs
like
and stuff.
Like earnest head bobbing going on.
Like, I literally could have seen that go to the next song and us not pay attention to it.
And we're just like zoning out.
It's pretty much, this record is kind of in the wheelhouse of every person in this room, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mark, are you with us on that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. This brings back a lot of memories.
A lot of memories for me too. Yeah. Like this makes me think of you a lot. Like, it's not long. It came out not long after, or right around the time I moved back to Austin. So we were spending a lot of time together.
Just moved back to Austin. Yeah. And we were both like
drinking
some of that. Yeah. As is our want, spending a lot of time together, just geeking out on music. And this came out, I guess, not that long after OK Computer.
Couple years.
But, well, and the other star of the show really is the production on this.
Production is amazing.
And Matt was starting to talk about it a little bit in the break before we cut him off and made him save all the good stuff for when we were taping. So, Matt, what was your, you know, what was your impression? Obviously, there's a fingerprint.
Yeah, you know, it's, I think the similarities, if you A-B even some of Nigel Godrich's work with Radiohead and this record in particular. Shane was mentioning about how he captures Fran Healy's vocal. It's a little breathy, and you can hear a lot of that in Nigel's production with Tom York, obviously, and it's like there, and even that guitar freak out kind of that comes out of the middle of nowhere.
With the acoustic guitar in the background.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, you can definitely, there's definitely like,
well, no, he's
there,
got his footprint just all over it.
But a lot of that too, like, I mean, there's a reason why that guy, I mean, he has his footprint, but he also allows the bands that he works with to kind of establish themselves as well.
So
it's not like his, not to, there's a difference between, like, say, Nigel Godrich and Daniel Lanois. Daniel Lanois, you fucking know everything he ever does. You know, like, he has a very distinct sound. Mm-hmm. This guy does, but it's more subtle. It's more with technique. He just happens to work with bands that could easily go on tour with each other, I think is a hallmark of a really good producer.
Yeah, well, I was just going to share that the Pitchfork take on this suggests that Fran Healy sounds remarkably like a stable Tom York, and then albeit with a more folky, tender approach. And I was like, okay, that's sort of an oversimplification.
Tender is a good word.
It's definitely an oversimplification. I think there's a lot more to Fran Healy than just that, to encapsulate him into just that.
Well, he's tender and but kind of vulnerable, but also like very confident.
But that's the thing, and that's why I said a minute ago, like, sometimes that thing can get to me a little bit. But that's not what he is all you know, the whole time.
And I had mentioned, while we're also off mic, the videos. If you watch any of the videos, especially, like, for Turn and Why Does Always Rain on Me, they're hilarious. They're, like, really funny.
They're funny guys.
And Fran is, like, poking fun of himself in just about all the videos.
Well, I met him that night that we saw that show, and I don't know if you were like still hanging out with me, Kevin, but we went over that ocean. It was Ocean's 11 at the time, and that place has changed hands a bunch.
Oh yeah,
remember it was on.
It's
like
nothing right now.
No, it is something else. But remember, for a little while, like the guy from Bar Rescue,
Iron and Lace, or something,
and he turned it into a steampunk bar.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That didn't last.
But anyway, yeah, like apparently he was hanging out across the street, and like he was pleased as punch with himself. Like he had like a hot woman on each arm. He was in a booth, and there was people, like, all in the booth, but on each side of him was, like, a really hot girl. And I just went up and, like, you know, introduced myself and shook his hand, and he was like, oh, yeah, thanks, mate, or whatever. And I was like, man, that guy's acting like a fucking rock star. And then I was like, oh, wait.
He is.
I guess he kind of is a rock star.
Did
so
you hang around
I'll give him a flyer on that
moment.
One.
Yeah. Did you hang around long enough for them to bring him like a big flaming bowl of
like green M&Ms or something?
No.
Oh, no, they had that Krakatoa or whatever.
It was a tiki bar at the
time. Yeah, it was a tiki bar, and they would light their, like, they'd have a big elaborate drink that they set on fire. No, I did not stick around long enough for that. But it was funny. I just, like, my instinct immediately was like, oh, that guy's acting like a rock star. Oh,
well, that's because that's where you live.
He is allowed.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
But no, so he's not always just, you know, like super earnest and, you know, sad sounding.
It'd be weird if he was.
Well, do you remember what the encore was for that show?
It was All I Want to Do Is Rock.
Is it what I think it was?
Britney Spears.
Yeah.
They did that, but they did all I wanted to do.
Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Yeah.
And, he made a point to bring up that they actually think it's a really good song. And the way they do it, like, it is.
It was earnest. Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard a live recording of that. I had to leave that show early that night because my girlfriend at the time was puking and ended up puking in her car. But
awesome.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it was wonderful. So I missed that. Hope it was fun.
Anyway, 5 singles off this record charted, at least in the UK.
Well, they got a lot bigger in the UK than they ever did here.
Yeah, they never crossed over here. That's the crazy part about it. I mean, they did to some degree. I mean, like,
well, I mean, that show was packed at Stubbs.
It was packed, and
outside
fits about 2,500.
Yeah, so they weren't hurting over here, but they never did like Coldplay kind of numbers. Yeah.
Oh no, but you know, very few people do.
I think there's a great story kind of associated when you're talking about the singles. How when the record came out, I think in the UK it was just kind of like, all right. But then they had an appearance. I think it was at Glastonbury, and when they started, you know, it was kind of nice. And then whenever they started, Why Does It Always
That's the legend. That's the thing that actually started downpouring.
Yeah.
That is the legend. Is that true? Is that?
Yeah, that's true.
I hope it's true. No, that's true.
And then the I guess news footage and everything kind of, this is before the viral video sensation, spread everywhere on all the BBC TV channels, and that kind of catapulted.
Yeah, like
the song
apparently the
record
had started to dip a little bit in the charts, and then that just shot it up.
Which makes you wonder if, like, they just stalled on going on stage until the weather moved in. Like,
they're kind of looking at the forecast before.
If we play
secretly
that,
geniuses.
They're just sitting there looking at the weather, like, the last second.
Exactly.
Well, I was going to make that my third selection, but I'm going to make it my second now since you brought it up. Because that's
such a good song.
It really
well,
is.
And you told me, I think, that you've never seen the video. Is that right?
I have never seen this video.
So let's watch the video. And
okay.
It's super weird and funny and just weird.
Bathe in the greatness that is Why Does It Always Rain on Me.
Sounds good to me.
All right, still I can't close my eyes.
Such a happy, sad song, guys.
Well, and you know what? It's hard to draw a crowd on a boat.
It is.
I'm just saying.
They did not have a big crowd at the end
of
that.
Maybe that's why they never made it big.
Oh, you're talking about them. They were performing on the boat, and there weren't a lot of people watching.
They were bad at picking venues.
They were like fish.
It's like a little mini barge.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
An Elder Barge, if you will.
An Elder Barge?
Yes.
Yeah. Do we know who directed that? It looks like it distinctly...
Elder Barge?
No.
Okay.
Why does it always rain on me by the band Travis, which we are currently discussing?
No. I was just saying maybe Elder Barge directed it.
It looks like a freaking Danny Boyle directed thing. Like I guess Kevin's still never seen Trainspotting because of the needles, but...
Bits and pieces.
It's so weird. The video's just so weird.
It is very weird. Yeah, he's...
John Hardwick.
Well, and like, so if we just sort of break down the weird, the narrative that happens.
Didn't he used to be the host of, I don't know.
That's Chris Hardwick. Yeah. But if you just break down the narrative of that video, if you get a chance to take a look at it, it's like Fran Healy comes to in the back of a car, starts singing with tape over his mouth.
Yeah, duct tape over his mouth.
Trapped in the trunk. And then pops out, and then all the other guys.
I guess, are the rest of the band.
Yeah, his abductors seem to be the rest of the band.
And then they just walk away.
Well, he comes up over the hill, and I was like, oh. And they're poking a dead goat. This is really part of the video.
As what people do. That is what people
Scottish
do.
Scottish people.
As happens.
Yeah. Scottish people.
Yeah.
Apparently.
And so the first indication that maybe things aren't what they seem, you know, he comes up over the hill, and I'm like, oh, yeah, now he's dead. Like, now they're going to come after him. And then they all run away, and then they.
Well, because he's wearing a kilt.
You think that's why?
Well,
there's a whole like William Wallace kind of
1999 faux hawk.
William Wallace thing.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, that's a very thin band at that year. By the way, that whole band looked like they could have been blown over by a stiff breeze.
You could tell they hadn't enjoyed their successes just yet.
Yeah, because everything's fucking fried in Scotland, right? I mean,
and been pounding haggis or whatever it is.
No, they pound like fucking fried
Snickers
bars.
Well,
and
like hard boiled eggs, just like battered, and
Scotch
deep
eggs.
Fried.
Yeah.
Good times.
Know. Sounds like it's all Friday.
But anyway, yeah, they all fall off a cliff and they come up through the floorboard of a barge and start playing music together.
To no one.
Yeah. Well,
on the Mekong Delta or wherever the hell they are at that point.
Aside from that,
something Loch Ness monster would pop up.
It's sort of like Huck Finn floating down the river in some weird. I mean, not really. It's just they're just floating down the river.
But circling back to kind of the song itself, like even to Matt's point, the video is ridiculous. It is super silly, but the earnestness of the song, like, I don't know, kind of you still come away with like I still enjoyed hearing the track again.
It's so beautiful. It
makes me happy, but like
the video is enjoyable.
It's
anyway,
like, but
regardless.
It's like, why does bad shit always happen to me? Is it because I did something
well,
bad when I was 17?
And that's the thing. And no one else is gonna. It says I love that song. So don't get me wrong when I say this, but like sometimes like Fran Healy's got the little quivery.
I still don't know what
lip.
You're talking about.
Like he's got this like little sad boy, like his mom left him on the first day of kindergarten, quivery lip thing in some of his songs.
Quiver lip is going to be what I call my speed metal band.
Quiver lip,
quivery lip.
Quiver
lip. Oh, you know what I was thinking? Well, I'm not going to say this on the air, but I thought I'm plotting out all of you and Mark are gonna have a weekend warrior band called the Dad Bods.
Oh yeah.
And I'm writing.
I know
all
what
the
our
songs
are going to be called.
I'm writing a bunch of the songs for you already, so.
I cannot wait
perfect.
For that.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
I cannot wait to be a part of that.
You're going to love it. All right, man. So
classy
do we want to go to the intermission? Oh, yeah. Can I say one more time how much I love this song? Like, and how much I love this record. Like, thanks for picking this week, Ryan.
Dude, seriously, people say this just as a matter
and Matt,
of southern,
also kind
southern
of.
Colloquialism. My pleasure. Like, literally.
All right, so we're going to the break?
Yeah, let's do some intermission music. We have, a couple of weeks ago, you know, we did Dave Brubeck. It was our first jazz album. There are a couple of musical genres that have been sorely missed or underrepresented. And, well, today I was going to do All I Want to Do Is Rock by Travis, but which is a great video and a great song from another.
The previous
record. We previously have established it's from the prior record. But since we already watched a Travis video, I'm thinking. And upcoming and one of my near future album picks is going to be in this genre, which is 80s hair metal, we haven't.
That is endlessly entertaining. We've touched on it a little bit.
No,
here and there.
We've touched on deep.
No.
We haven't gotten into Warrant or Great White or
there's a deep well.
Cinderella or there's a deep well.
Or there's a well.
So I heard the end of this song the other day, which is a song that I have not heard nor thought of since 1987. And it's called Way Cool Junior by Rat, which is a third tier. They had one big
Round and Round.
Round and Round. They had that big hit, and then but that was in the relatively early 80s. I think like 84 or something.
Stephen Piercy was that.
Yes,
dude?
That's true. Yeah. Though they still tour. I don't think Stephen Piercy's involved with his endeavor though. Anyway,
as long as like the bass player is still in it, they just call it that.
Yeah,
it's just the drummer.
Well, is it really?
Yeah.
So
Matt, you know this. For sure.
So you know this.
True or false? Is he constantly rained on? Like all of the '80s drummers were constantly rained on. If you
when they played, like the rain comes
videos.
Up.
Yeah,
the drums.
Yeah.
Like
off the cymbals and everything.
Yeah. Scary.
What are we listening to?
Okay, so Way Cool Ray Junior Beckin. By Rat, which is again, it's a song that the reason why I listened to it now. The other day, or I heard the end of it, and I was like, "Oh yeah!" Even when I was a little kid, I thought that it was eye-rollingly stupid. The title of this song, "Way Cool Junior," it was dumb then. 30 years later, it's still fucking dumb. So I don't know. Let's watch it. Let's see.
Maybe I've come around. I don't know.
Maybe I've come around too. Yeah. Maybe I'll love it. I don't know. Mark, can you roll it?
Shane, thank you.
You're welcome.
By the way, I did take the liberty of looking up Robin Crosby's Wikipedia page, which said that he died from, get this, a heroin overdose and pneumonia with complications from AIDS. Motherfucker.
That's hardcore.
That's like, there's no, the doctor doesn't walk in and
dude,
go like,
he's taking
maybe,
the express train.
See the bright side.
If
like,
you were
not...
fucking watching Law and Order and they found somebody dead from that and the toxicology report came back, you as the viewer would roll your eyes.
Like, oh, come on.
That's unbelievable. Just, come on. Yeah. Stick with one.
Yeah.
And he was hit by a train.
Exactly. Just as the needle went in. That's what happens.
Hey, can somebody answer me this question? Like in the 80s, don't take this away yet, Matt, because I haven't finished reading them. Can somebody tell me why hair metal bands in the 80s like to spin around a lot? Does anybody ever notice that?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They spun a lot on stage.
It's very sexy, Shane. I don't know if you
got the hair, the accessories, everything, man.
I guess, yeah.
Well, there were a lot of crispy bangs in that. But.
Yeah, but you know, that was right after like the Aquanet, or right when the Aquanet thing was I guess dying down a little bit, because there weren't that many girls with like the crispy bangs as much as
well.
The,
that video did remind me of that classic joke that was going around L.A. right around this time, which was
because you were in L.A.
Yeah, totally. Which was
and a huge hair metal fan.
Which was what does a stripper do to her asshole before she goes to work?
Oh God!
Thanks, Ryan.
Drops him off at band practice.
Oh hey!
Yeah.
He'll be here all
the
week.
Crappy thing, if I don't know if anybody here, probably I'm the only one that's ever seen the rat behind the music. It's really sad when they
you are the only one that's
on heavy
ever
rotation
seen
these days.
It's
yeah.
Like that's all of it, right?
It's really sad when they talk about Robin Crosby because everybody fucking just left him like at the end of his life. And
they just dropped him.
Nobody came to see him.
That's
it was
so
really
sad. That is
fucking
sad.
Sad.
You know one thing, yeah. Like let me I will say this, like, about this song. Like, as much as I don't like it, the music, the composition of the song was heads above what you normally hear in these, yeah, like, heavy metal songs. Like, I was actually really impressed by it. Like, the lyrics were stupid, and the song itself was stupid.
And the video's stupid.
A
lot of eye candy,
but compositionally,
stupid.
It was yeah, actually pretty impressive. And Matt was right. Like, they do, like, a key change when they go to the bridge, and it was interesting. You know, like, roll that over to a Warrant. Like, she's... You, by the way, you know the album Cherry Pie by Warrant?
Did you say roll that over to a Warrant?
The band Warrant.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
I know.
I'll roll that over to Warrant.
Okay.
Like, the band Warrant, they put out that album Cherry Pie. She's my
cherry pie.
Yep. Well, originally, the name, the album title, and it was and they were asked to change it by their label, was called Vertical Smile.
Oh, so... Oh.
Tasteful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the nadir of
hey,
like
Grammy, listen to this new record with
Grammy.
Me.
Vertical Smile. Just 80s hair metal. It's just
Thanksgiving
delightfully
stories.
Idiotic.
It's the music that keeps on giving.
I won't say delightfully. I'll definitely say idiotic.
You
like,
know, the thing
it
that
does
I,
keep on giving.
The thing that I thought, in all seriousness, while I was listening to this, was like, okay, at the time, and this is probably something that we all think about, things that we don't connect to in the modern day that, like, during their time seem to be prevalent. Like, I really thought, like, did these guys know that, like, this is just a, like, this is a passing thing. There's no way it's going to last. Like, or...
I think they did.
I think you may be right. Like, I think that at the very least, they recognize that, like, okay, this is a formula. Like, there's an audience for this. We can replicate that, and we can do whatever. And this girl in the, like... tight-fitting dress that's just aimlessly walking around the stage, like, we'll be there forever. But you look at these now, and it doesn't look like they have, like, no pun intended, legs over time. So, I don't know.
That's a tough no pun intended.
It is, a little.
No, they don't. But, you know, the thing about it is there's always somebody that was 14 years old when some kind of music was popular, and they... You know, for the most part, loved that shit for the rest of it. I mean,
I loved Quiet Riot and Twisted Sister when I was like 11.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? Like, I was the target market for it, and I bought the shit.
Yeah, but
wholesale.
I'm saying now that there's some guy out there with a do-rag on the back of a Harley or riding a Harley down the street with like Way Cool Junior plugged into his earbuds, you know? I mean, that is
rocking
going on
out
right now, you know? Some 50-year-old man. But, you know. If you look at it, it's funny. And also, neglected to say this, that song has some saxophone in the end of it. Yep. Straight up sax. So
that is true.
Sax appeal.
Played by like fetching spokesmodels.
On bar stools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As typically is the case.
It was the 80s. If you didn't have a saxophone in it, you didn't have a big hit in the 80s. All the big 80s songs had the saxophones.
Oh, we know. We talked about it. I'm not a big fan
Shane
of it.
Shane is the...
I really don't like the saxophone.
Shane's a card-carrying member of the anti-saxophone solo
No,
lobby.
I love saxophone in jazz. It has no place in rock music or any other place other than jazz. Like, there's no... It's just... Yeah. Yeah.
All right, kids. Why don't we get back into
Travis?
All right,
let's go back into Travis.
So we're back on to Travis, but we took a little detour getting there, and Matt brought us a little bit of majesty.
Matt brought us his own intermission, and it was good stuff.
It's worth checking out. What was that song called?
Fuck You, Bitch.
Fuck You, Bitch by
Wheeler Walker Jr. Yes, Wheeler Walker Jr., Fuck You, Bitch. The video is on YouTube.
It's actually a good song.
It is actually good. It's hilarious. Obviously, it's supposed to be parody country, but it's done so well. If you weren't paying attention to the
It's lyrics, well executed.
Yeah, it's really good. Mark just almost had an existential breakdown like three quarters of the way through the song. He just looks up and goes, it's a really good song.
When he mentioned that, it was produced by Dave Cobb, who's done Jason Isbell and
Sturgis Simpson.
So I'm wondering, I mean, obviously Wheeler Walker Jr. is somebody's...
It's like a Tony Clifton-like character or something.
Yeah.
But with talent.
But we don't know. Yeah, we don't know who it is yet. But we'll get in on that.
There's no private jet, so it couldn't be Hank Jr.
That's true.
That's true. And he wasn't wearing a shitty like $4 windbreaker.
Right. Yeah. He wasn't on Boat Cephas. As it were.
Cephas.
Yeah. As it were.
That hard. What was that? Like the second episode we did?
I don't know.
No. It was in the first.
But
6 months probably.
Bringing us back to present day. Shall we talk about the man who?
Yeah, the man who, which was a reference. I'm trying to remember. Like now, it's a literary reference. Like, I did find it a little bit, maybe not ironic, but like Fran Healy was not in this band when it started, and the two founding members like got tossed out. One of which was named Chris Martin.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
Yeah,
not the same Chris Martin though.
Not the same Chris Martin, and I assume
that's
there are more.
Really,
I assume there are more than one
guy
in the British Isles.
Totally sucks to have that.
He's just drunk somewhere, going like, "And let me tell you another thing. Here's another band I'm not in."
Like the Office Space, Michael Bolton.
Kind of, yeah, kind yeah, of, yeah. Funny, yeah.
So these guys were kind of knocking around and like had, you know, a little bit of industry contact, but were like not really doing it. But some kind of Svengali guy got in touch with them when they were in like Perth, Australia, and like threw them in the studio and basically like whipped them into shape to where they were like able to, you know, get their shit
play
together.
An instrument for the first time in their life.
Well, I don't know.
Is it like kind of like the montage? So if you ever have like the making of the, like Travis, the movie, it would be like a
he
Rocky
told us
montage.
We were shit, took us in the studio for 4 days and taught us how to play properly like a band. He was ballsy, rude, and New York pushy. He didn't believe my lyrics and told me to write what I believed in and not tell lies. He was Mary Poppins. He sorted us out. And then they recorded a 5-song demo.
Sounds like Burgess Meredith to
yeah.
me.
Come on,
yeah,
rock.
Yeah.
Work on the bridge.
Yeah, get your shit together.
Believe in your lyrics.
And then he just wipes your brow and throws you back in there.
You
like
punch a bunch of meat in the fucking locker.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. With your guitar.
Yeah.
But since they're Scottish.
It makes you break your guitar. Your guitar. Frozen
and since they're Scottish, it's haggis. Not really.
Yes, exact. Frozen haggis, as it were.
Frozenhaggis.com.
Yeah. So what else? Like, so there were, like, we talked about there were 5 singles off this record, at least on the UK
well,
side.
Matt, you know what they all were. Like, one of them was Driftwood.
Yeah. It's a great song.
Which is my personal favorite song on the record.
Mine as well.
That song is really cool. Like, it's catchy, but then, like, when it goes into the chorus, it's, like, a really good example of, like, these choruses, every single chorus on the song, like, whether, like, some of these songs, like, they're kind of sold, but then the chorus sells it, and then you're like, oh, I totally get the whole thing. Like, your eyes open up, and that's a great example of that.
And it's a song that, for me, it shouldn't work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because the lyrics are a little bit almost Hallmark card-ish, but then the music is what really fucking...
Well, and I know we touched on the production earlier, but I was noticing that they recorded some of this record at Abbey Road, and like, there's some George Martin-esque shit going on. Like,
there's,
you know, Nigel
George Martin stuff, yeah.
Godrich, or is it Godric? Like, anyway, like, he worships at the altar of George Martin.
Well, even the first couple of chords of Driftwood, where it's kind of not even the full chord that he's playing on that open, like, real.
Matt's showing
us
with his hand, like,
and the real chimey kind of
good audio, Matt. Thanks.
Real chimey kind of sounding chords that go that aren't totally resolved, so it kind of gives you that suspension from the get go. And
a lot of suspended. It's great. Yeah.
So the title of this record actually came from an Oliver Sacks book, who was a neurologist. That Awakenings was based on.
Oh,
those.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
man
yeah.
who mistook
his
wife
for
a
hat.
Hat.
Yeah.
It's a popular psychology book.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting story.
Too. And the band was named after a character in, what was the movie, Paris, Texas?
I used to go to high school
with
this guy named Travis Guitara. Right? Like, I always thought
it was
named after him.
Harry Dean
it was
Stanton's
Paris,
character.
Texas. Harry Dean Stanton's character, Travis Henderson. Yes, so there's that.
Okay.
Which is really weird.
And we've touched on Driftwood, and you should definitely check that song out, but that's not the song that I want to...
What is the song you're going to play?
As You Are, which is my favorite song on it, because it's got that sort of George Harrison like breakdown interlude in the middle of it.
That solo, yeah.
That solo slays me. And like, to me, that's like, it gets no better.
The melody sounds like kind of Across the Universe to me. Like,
I mean, they're definitely Beatles
very
fans.
Very Beatlesque.
Like, I don't think it's a ripoff, but...
No, it's not a ripoff at all. The solo is the best part of this song. I think it's kind of a pedestrian song otherwise, but... Like,
wow, you're such a dick.
I'm not being a dick. I just kind of...
Well, let's let everyone else listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Let's all the non-dicks out there listen to it.
You know, I was genuinely relieved when you told me that.
It's just funny to you take it very seriously sometimes. It's just a discussion.
No, I get that.
Yeah. No, it's a great song. But, I already told you, there's only one song on this record that I don't like, and it's not that one. And even the one I don't like, I still love.
What was it? Turn.
Turn, yeah.
Still great song.
It's still a great song. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, this song... It's great. Totally my thing. Like,
no, it's a great
all
song.
The way through. Like, yeah,
and really well produced. We were talking
about
that earlier.
Like you had mentioned earlier that sometimes like this record gets a little intense. I have an ex that a couple of us around this table know, and we won't get into her name or anything. But like, I played this song for her, and she was like, "I can't take it. Like, it's really good, but it's too much."
That's an interesting reaction to have. To a song.
Well, but that probably, and you could probably say that about anybody, but like, it probably says as much about the girl as it does about the song.
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah.
Like, no, she was a very sensitive person.
Anyway.
Probably still is.
And thanks to your tipping us off about the solo there, I paid special attention to that, and it's like, yeah, like I could see why you would connect with it.
No, it's to me like this song just 100% does no wrong, like 10 out of 10. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't say 10 out of 10, but it's good. It's great. It's a great song.
Yeah,
that's a high bar to reach.
It is. I'm trying to think of a song that's better than that, and I'm coming up Snake Eyes. So what are you gonna do?
Whatever floats
your. Big Mouth Strikes Again, as good.
I don't even know if I'd say Big Mouth Strikes Again as a 10 out of 10. That's a high bar.
Matt, do you think Big Mouth Strikes Again is a
perfect
song?
I'll say it's a 9 or 9.5.
In the realm of Smith things, it's top 10. I wouldn't be in my top 5.
What do you think your favorite Smith song is? Do you know?
It kind of changes.
Yeah, mine does too. But I mean, there's always a couple that are in the constant.
You know, in the top 5, it's There Is a Light. Has to be.
Fantastic. It's in my top 5.
Yeah. And then I go back and forth between I Know It's Over and Sleep.
Oh, yeah, those are both good, too. Yeah. Yeah.
I just do that in my everyday life. Go back between I Know It's Over.
I think
Over
Heaven
and
Knows
Sleep.
I'm Miserable Now is my favorite.
It's a good one.
Overall.
It's hard.
It's hard, yeah.
That's another discussion a lot of good ones altogether. Yeah.
It's true. Just curious, because you weren't here last week.
Yeah. Well, no, I was thinking, like, this week, like, we could really just do a podcast about the Smiths. And probably have a year's worth of episodes if we should.
Just the Smiths, no particular record.
Yeah.
We just lay it down, do a 2-hour pod. Maybe we should do that this year on our Memorial Day. The Smiths. No, we just did the Smiths. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. That one's a little exhausted at this point.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, That was definitely one of the best records that anybody's brought up. So thanks, Ryan.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Fred.
Yeah.
Kevin?
So for our current affair track this week, I wanted to pick something that really dovetailed right out of what we've been listening to tonight. And so, of course, I've selected Lil Yachty's One Night, which comes with a very special video. Lil Yachty, for anyone who may not know.
I don't know.
Is a rapper. And
figured from the Lil.
And yeah. he likes to talk about boats. So anyway, this video packs a special punch. So
Yachty like yacht?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, not yeah, Yachty.
This isn't the band Yacht that just had the fake sex tape released yesterday.
No, just a coincidence. This is a rapper with a similar handle who sings about boats.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ari Povich, and welcome to this special edition of A Current Affair.
I know you want this for life, taking pictures with all my eyes, but I can't have no wife. I just want you for the night. I know you want this for life, taking pictures with all my eyes, but I can't have no wife. I just want you for the night. I know you want this for life. Fuck you so good, you be calling out to Christ. Bottles of the tech, got it laid on ice. We spent four seasons at the Four Seasons twice. You be calling all your homegirls like I'm his wife.
Well, first of all, you're welcome.
That was great. Thank you.
It's quite something. Not a lot of people know that. That's actually a live cut. There's no editing in that
video.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
When I came to out of my epileptic seizure, I realized that kind of what he's talking about there is he has a peculiar set of issues. Like
he can have no wife.
There's some things
that
guy's trying
to solve.
Well,
that's a double negative, which means he can have a wife.
Well, right. Actually, so
Thank you for clarifying that.
A little bit of the subtext of that song, oddly enough, is that
you mean subtitles?
Well, no. In this case,
there were subtitles.
We can get to all that.
They were helpful.
Yeah, a little bit of the sort of the background on that is that he includes there are a lot of like if you watch the video, it's a series of like crazy cutouts and silly mashups and whatever, and visually
it sounds like a crazy cutups and silly
sounds like a video collage.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is that it includes several images of what one review calls known philanderers. And so, like,
with their lips moving with
Jay-Z and Bill Cosby.
Michael Jordan.
Like, yeah, Michael Jordan. Crying Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. With a little bit of, he's got the little Yachty hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, not to be outdone, like, lots of boats. There are lots of boats in that
Lil
video.
Yachty, no. Like, yeah. it's true to form. Like,
quite
true,
a bit of Yachty, as it turns out.
One of my favorite, there are a lot of favorite things about this video, but one thing I really love is when Lil Yachty put the put the life preserver on his head and it said welcome aboard on it. There's something that was just very amusing about that.
Yeah, at one time he's got a kitten working.
He had the kitten for a lot of it.
Yeah.
So anyway,
as most rappers
see,
do
sure.
in their videos.
They should.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the slow pace of that track belies the fact that there's a lot going on.
And speaking of the slow pace of the track, so I want to say one thing. If I were to hear that music instrumentally, I love that music. It's so up my alley. Like, take away all of the other stuff, all the detritus, whatever. Like, you know, just play that, just that music with even the melody, just without the words. Like, I can't have no wife, you know, like, just want you for one night or whatever. Like, that, like, I love that music. I'd love to listen to it again. I know that's definitely not the focal point of what we're talking about right now, but I really enjoy that kind of music.
That's part of the reason that Lil Yachty is a rising star. Or rising, the tide is rising.
It doesn't,
so you would really get into the name of his elevator
yacht
music.
Rising star.
I like elevator music. Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, kind of like vaguely like ambient kind of, I don't know, I just really like that stuff.
You could play that at a swim up bar.
I just want to fucking do some Molly and play it in my own house.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of playing it at a swim up bar. But anyway, that's Lil Yachty, you guys.
Thanks. Yeah, it was Kevin. Highly entertaining. Thank you for playing that.
Oh, sure. And so
Kevin, you've got next week.
I do have next week. So I have mentioned previously that next week we're going to cover Brendan Benson's second record, La Palco, which I think is did not go totally unappreciated, but I think in the grand scheme of things, it's an underappreciated record. And
I kind of thought that about this Travis record too. Like, why isn't it considered a classic?
But we came here today and did our part.
That is true.
Anyway, and thanks to Matt again for sitting in with us.
Thanks for having me,
Matt. And then you're going to do one too in a couple weeks. Right?
I am. And
did you figure out what you want?
I think I've settled on one. I'm going to go with Fanfarlo's debut, Reservoir.
Well, there you go.
All right, I like that.
Fucking name, man.
Sounds fucking good to me, y'all. All
right, cowpokes. Until next week, I'm Kevin.
Ryan.
Shane.
Mark.
Matt.
Mark and Matt were just doing like a fucking like
stare down.
Stare down. Yeah.
Who's going?
Who's going to draw first?
All right.
This is Somebody Likes It.